Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram.
Thank you, Lord, for my life.
Cause I know that I will never be alone again.
I wanna talk to you about Jesus. Jesus is the love of my life. Save my life. Stand up straight. If it wasn't for Jesus,
thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I wouldn't be here today.
Jesus, I don't deserve it. Lord, I know that you're worth it. So I just ask.
Just
you,
ask Jesus.
And I keep on asking.
Just
Jesus,
ask Jesus. I know.
Jesus,
Lord, I know.
Jesus, you set me free.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
You can call on Jesus.
You can call on
Jesus.
When you need a friend.
Jesus.
When your brother can't be found. You can call on
Jesus. You don't know like I know.
You can call on Jesus. Heavenly Father. Lord. I need you. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. And I'm just one grateful somebody. As we turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence in this universe, I give thanks. As we turn within, recognizing this great spirit that is known by many, many names, but on this line, we recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So as we turn within to breathe, taking in a deep breath, breathe it in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight. Then releasing through the mouth, reminding you that there is power in the breath family. There is power in the breath. There is power in the breath family. And sometimes we forget. And so in this right now moment, I want you to just breathe, family, by being still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. Power in the breath, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. Be still and know that I am God. And last time, call in all the energy of gratitude. Let's pray, family. Be still and know that I am God.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee, I let it be, and so it is. Today, I forgive my mother. Gratitude Meditation. This guided meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of gratitude within your mind and body. Gratitude is the quality or feeling of being grateful or thankful. It is an expression of deep appreciation within yourself that is extended outward. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. As you take a long, deep inhale, focus your attention and your energy right in the center of your chest, the center of love within your being. And breathe into the center of your chest, holding the thought form, I am so grateful. And exhale that breath. Again, breathing directly into the center of your chest, I am so grateful. And allow that breath to be released. And see, feel, imagine, intended to be so, that someone you love unconditionally and someone you know loves you unconditionally is standing right before them. See them with your mind's eye. If you can't see them, feel their presence. And if you can't feel their presence, just imagine that they're there, or set an intention that this person that I love unconditionally, who loves me unconditionally, is standing right before me. Eye to eye, heart to heart, soul to soul. And as if you could speak directly into their heart and into their being, simply say, thank you. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your love. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to love you. I'm so grateful. And take a long, deep inhale. And exhale. and allow the feeling, the experience, the expression of gratitude to fill your being from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. Allow it to radiate and vibrate within you as you hold a thought for, I am so grateful. Grateful. Grateful I am. I am grateful for this moment, this life, this time, this experience. Just breathing gratitude. Long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. Slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. Again, a long, deep inhale. I am so grateful. And a slow, complete exhale. Grateful. I am. And breathe. And experience the radiance of gratitude. And bring your awareness to the gentle ebb and flow of your breath. And together we take a long, deep inhale in and drop it with the sound of again, a long, deep inhale and drop it. And wiggle your toes and your fingers. And give your body a big stretch, allowing the energy to be balanced and reintegrated at all levels of your being. And whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and focus on something in the room as you take a long, deep inhale and drop it. And allow yourself to just bask in the radiance of gratitude. And as you move into your day, be sure to do something good for you. And be blessed.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And I am your daily lover, and I am just one grateful somebody. Thank you, God. And as we bask in that gratitude, just thank you, God. Because when we're down to nothing, God is always up to something. Thank you, God. God say, I don't need your help, I just need your permission. Thank you, God. Stir up the gifts in us today, God. Thank you, God. Good morning, family. Good morning. We've been talking about vision this week. The vision that God has called upon our lives. The vision that God has called upon our lives. To do a great work on this planet. You see, you've been called to do a mighty work on this planet. And nobody can do what you've been called to do the way you've been called to do it. Nobody. And I tell you, something happens when you begin to walk in your gifts and your talents. Oh, my God. Doors begin to open. Things and people begin to walk in their favor. And people who wouldn't normally do for you, God will have them set up and do for you what God needs to be done through you. I tell you, God is so amazing. the blessings of those that are living in their gifts and talents is so powerful because, you see, when you're stepping into your sweet spot, those around you will bless you because you bless them. That's what it means when Abraham, the anointing of Abraham, you'll be so blessed that the blessed will call you blessed. That's because you walk in your gifts and talents. And I promise you, Oprah is one of the biggest examples. And she brought that to my attention when she said it at the Essence Festival. She said it. She said, I'm living a dream, family, not because I'm special. Carl. And, you know, I decided we're going to go ahead and listen. And I want you to really get that when she said that. I'm going to read from The Science of the Man, and we're going to hear Oprah talk about that. And we're going to hear her journey. And we're going to understand that she's not special. She's obedient to the call. Guess what? What does that mean? That means we can live a very similar life just by being obedient to our call. Today, The Science of the Mind says the law says yes. Howard Thurman says there's a logic and an order to the universe in which all things at least are deeply involved. Ernest Holmes says the law we are discussing is simply a law of nature, a force of nature. One of the essential teachings in any science of the mind and foundation class, there's a three-step creative process, spirit, mind, and body. Spirit is the divine idea. The mind accepts the imprint of our thoughts and our beliefs, and the body is the manifestation of what we created based on our thoughts and our beliefs. The law is impersonal. It says yes to what we think and believe. It operates to the extent we embody and accept that which we desire to manifest. You see, we cannot manifest what we desire and expect to sustain it unless our thoughts and beliefs are in alignment with that which manifests in our lives. You see, I can't be a great cellist, for example, if I've not studied, practiced, and embodied the qualities of a great cellist. In reality, TV culture, where it appears possible to become a rich celebrity for doing nothing, sometimes this can be a difficult idea to accept. However, we must not get distracted, and we must continue to do our spiritual work to embody the qualities that are seeking to emerge as we manifest the life we are called to live from the inside out. You see, there's no shortcut. But there is a vision, a higher vision for your life that you've been called to the planet to do. And Ernest Holmes succinctly explains this in The Science of the Mind. You see, we must become aligned with the vision that God has for our life, with the universal law, and we must stay vigilant to what we think, say, and do. We want the law to say yes to the highest idea, to the vision of ourselves. We must say yes to the vision. We must become obedient to the call. You see, everything I think, say, and do, it is in alignment with the manifestation of my highest and best self is the affirmation. Let's say that together. Everything I think, say, and do is in alignment with the manifestation of my highest and best self. Let's say it together again. Everything I think, say, and do is in alignment with the manifestation of my highest and best self. Last time, everything I think, say, and do is in alignment with the manifestation of my highest and best self, family. Powerful. Everything I think, say, and do is in alignment with my highest and best self, family. Come on, family. Let's hear Oprah say this. I want you to. I just love this. This thing just blew my mind. When I heard it, when she said it, it just sent chills through my spine. If I get in alignment with the vision for my own life, if I truly operate in the love and the gift and the talents that God has given me, like the word says, the room, it will be, my gifts will make room for me, and it will take me before great people. Holy Spirit, come and do your stuff. Let's hear Oprah. She says it better. Come on.
Wow. I'm here to introduce our final guest of the day, and I must say, she's a pretty big deal. In short, she is a media mogul, a talk show host, a network owner, a philanthropist, a producer, an actress, and an inspiration to us all. You know, actually, she is a legend. And yes, and what I know for sure is that she is definitely worth the wait.
Greetings, beloved. I am Yelena Van Zandt. And as you know, for the past 14 years, I've been with you every Essence Music Festival to close out the empowerment stage. Well, until today. Today, because of a medical emergency, I am unable to be with you. But I want you to know that I'm okay. Everything is fine. And as soon as I get the lesson, I'm going to let you know what it is. What I also have discovered in this experience is, as a woman, usually when you find yourself in a really tight jam and your back is up against the wall, it's usually another woman, a sister friend that will come and get you out of that jam. And that's exactly what has happened for me today. So, for the first time ever on the Essence Music Festival Empowerment Stage, my friend, my sister friend, a beautiful, powerful sister woman that we all know, she's going to close it out with y'all today. Please welcome Miss Oprah Winfrey.
Hello!
Hello! Hello! Baby?
My first time here! What took me so long? All I gotta say is, it's beyond happiness to be here. And pretty women wonder where my secret lies. Because I'm not that cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they say, girl, you telling lies. I said, no, it's in the reach of my arm. It's in the span of my hips. It's in the curl of my lips. And you, when you see me walking, it ought to make you proud, and you understand why my head's never bowed. It's in the bend of my hand, the need for my care, because I'm a woman phenomenally phenomenal. Sometimes I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellas either stand or fall down on their knees. Then they start swarming all around me like a hive of honeybees. I say, whoo, must be this fire in my eyes. Could be the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist, or just the joy in my feet, because I'm a woman, phenomenal, phenomenal woman. You are Essence, phenomenal women, and a few cool men. Thank you. And a few cool men. Have a seat. I want you to know that I've been planning on coming here for the past 6 months. Yelena Van Zandt asked me personally to come and join her here on the empowerment stage. Back in January, she was at my house and she said, I want you to do something you've never been. You're always working. Make the time. Come be with me, sister, as my special guest. So I was supposed to be y'all surprised. And then Yelena was speaking in Jamaica and unfortunately started having stomach pains and continued to speak even though she wasn't feeling well. And by the time she got on the plane to come back to the United States, they had to have ambulances waiting at the airport for her. And she had an emergency surgery, and she's now doing fine. but could not fly, and be here with all of us today. If y'all see my bra showing, please let me know. Thank you. Donna Karen. So I was going to be the surprise, and now I am surprised having to speak to all of you myself. But I feel a sense of joy about it because from the time I landed last night and hit the elevator, it's like the best family reunion you ever had. With all of the relatives you didn't know you had, and a lot of the relatives you really, really, really like. That's what the Essence Festival feels like to me. And so just for a few moments on the empowerment stage, I wanted to leave you with hopefully some words of empowerment, because often when I'm introduced, people say things like how many awards I've gotten, a lot of them, thank you very much, and they say how many years I did the Oprah show and all the accomplishments that go on people's lists. But because this is an empowerment stage, I want to leave you, hopefully, with something that you can take home that not only empowers, but emboldens you to live the life that God intended. Because this is what people don't know, because you can't tell everybody. I am who I am. One black woman, my hand in God's hand, trusting in that word, because that word never failed me. And I got to where I am, and I stand as I am, as Maya Angelou often says, and often said, and says in her poem to our grandmothers, every time you see me, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. Every time you see me, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. So it's just not me standing up here. It's my mother, my grandmother, her mother, the mother before her, her grandfather, every uncle who prayed, every sister who cried, every aunt who sacrificed, those whose names made the history books, those whose names never could make the history books, who allowed me to come as one and stand as 10,000. So oftentimes when I walk into a room just as cool as you please and I can't see another black face in a 50-mile radius, I stand and sit at the boards as one, but I'm bringing the 10,000 behind me. Because I not only know who I am, but I also know whose I am. And so anything you hear about me that feels good, sounds good, you think about, I wonder what Oprah's doing, how's she doing? I am living the dream. And I want you to live the dream, because I'm not living the dream because I'm special. I'm living the dream because I was obedient to the call of the dream. So I want you to leave here today thinking about, what is the dream for you? What is God's dream for you? What does the Creator's dream hold for you? So often we spend our lives wishing and hoping and hoping and wishing and desiring things. This is what I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You don't even get what you hope for. You get what you believe. So what is it you believe and know to be God's dream for you? So I live in the dream. I'm living in the space of the dream. And dream's good. Dream's good. The dream is greater than anything that I could have imagined. You know, when I was a little girl, my father, on Sunday mornings after church, he was a deacon, so he thought he had to say goodbye to every single person. We were the last car leaving the parking lot in the green Oldsmobile. And we would drive through the white people's neighborhoods. And I used to dream the dream, driving through the white people's neighborhoods. We'd drive through the white people's neighborhoods, and you'd see their fancy houses. Some of them had gates, but all of them had trees. And I remember when I first came to Baltimore, I met a friend. Hello, Baltimore in the house. When I first came to Baltimore, I made friends with a wonderful woman named Arlene Weiner. She was the wealthiest person I'd ever met. And I went to her house and parked in the driveway. There was a Corvette, and there was a BMW, and there was a Mercedes. I went, whoa, Arlene's rich. And at Arlene's house, once I got inside, I could see from her kitchen window 6 trees in the front yard. I thought, oh, rich people have trees. When I get rich, I'm going to get me some trees. I'm not just going to get me, everybody want to get cars and pocketbooks and shoes, but I want me some trees. So as life would have it, I was standing in my kitchen window about 3 years ago in California, making coffee in the morning, and I was looking out the window, and I saw the 6 trees. But listen to me. I was making the coffee. I saw the 6 trees. I went out on the porch to actually count the 6 trees. And this is what I noticed, that I could dream the 6. But beyond the 6 trees in my kitchen window are 3,687 trees. How do I know? Because I had them counted. I had them counted. I said, I want to know how many trees out there. I dreamed the 6. That's as much as my small mind and my imagination could hold for myself. I dreamed the 6, but God can see beyond the 6. Can see beyond the 6 because there was a bigger dream for me. And I'm here to tell you there is a bigger dream for you, Essence. There's a bigger dream. And so the key, the secret, the magic is to surrender to God's dream for you. To quit fighting against and pushing against and disallowing against and resisting against and trying to tell the Creator, the universal forces, divine intelligence, what you are supposed to do, and get still and know for sure what his dream, the dream, is for you. Now, when I was about 8 years old, I grew up in the church, and I was going to one of those women's day, you know how we have church all day long. I've been to Sunday school, and then we're going to, and then afternoon, they were having a women's tea from the women's board, and they were having a tea, and the little girl that was supposed to be there to do a recitation had gotten ill, and so they said to my stepmother, we need a little girl, can Oprah come back and do a recitation this afternoon? My stepmother said, yeah, I'll have her back here this afternoon. So this, you know, church ain't over to 1:30. So by 4 o'clock, I had gone home and learned to recite Invictus by William Ernest Henley. Now, it starts out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever God's be for my unconquerable soul. I was reciting it and doing the pit from pole to pole. I didn't know what I was saying. But at the end of the poem, there is the stanza that says, it matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishment the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Now, my little 8-year-old brain didn't really fully understand the power and depth of those words, but they sounded good enough for me to write them down and put them on my mirror. And those words, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul, became a mantra for me. What it said is, I am responsible for the choices that I make in my life. I am responsible. So obviously I grew up and was better able to articulate what those words really mean. And I discovered in physics class, those of you who remember physics, the third law of motion. You remember what that is? The third law of motion in physics says, for every action, it's called Newton's law, and it says, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So what does that mean? That means everything that you are putting out into the world, every action, bam, there is an equal and opposite reaction. It means no matter what you do, the energy of what you do, what you say, and most important, the energy of who you are is going out into the world, into your home, into your relationships, and that energy is always coming back to you. You are responsible for the energy that you are pulling out into the world, because that very energy, bam, is coming right back to you every single time, whether you believe it or not, because it is law. It is law. It is law that what you put out into the world is coming back. Now, in our country and many countries all over the world, they call this the golden rule. They say, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The truth is, whatever you do is already done. The truth is, so when I learned this, that I am the person who gets to control what comes back to me based upon what I'm putting out. Miss Seeley tried to tell y'all in The Color Purple Miss Seeley said it best. Roll Seeley for me.
I knocked you up on.
Everything you've done to me, already done to you.
That's real. That's law. That's not just some words that Alice Walker wrote. That is law. Everything you try to do is already done. So when I figured that out, oh, what I'm putting out is what's coming back. Let me get real clear about what it is I'm putting out. Real clear. So I read a book about 1989 called Seed of the Soul. And in that book, Gary Zukav talked about the laws of karma, of the laws of cause and effect, the third law of motion. And in that book, he talked about how intention, your intention, is always one with the law. Meaning, before you even think about a thing, you have an intention for the thing. And that the intention is going to determine the outcome. That's why the same people can go to the same church service and somebody walk down the aisle just to be seen to put some money in the church. And somebody else who just goes and just has a little bit to offer. The intention with which you give, the intention with which you serve, determines the outcome. So when I figured that out, I went, whoa. I changed everything I did on my show. I called in the producers and I said, from this day forward, I will no longer be speaking to the KKK. I will no longer be speaking to people who are fighting each other in a way that it is damaging to the character of myself and other people who watch. From this day forward, I am only going to do intentional television. And they're like, how are we going to do that and still win? The reason we remain number one for 25 straight years is because every single day I would have a pre-show meeting and have the producers come in and state to me, what is your intention? How do we want to use whoever is on this show? whatever is happening on this show to serve the audience in a way that fulfills the mission of uplifting, enlightening, encouraging, as well as entertaining. And if it doesn't do that, then I can't do it. I can't put my name on it. So I use this principle of intention for everything. I don't do anything without thinking about what is the real reason, what is the real motivation, what is the energy of my intention that's going to go into my thoughts and action and then be returned back to me. It is law. It's law. So the very first time I practiced this principle, there was a woman on the show whose daughter had been murdered by her boyfriend. And I went into the green room. I said, I'm going to see if this works. I said, can you tell me what your intention? She said, I said, tell me what your intention in being here. And she said, what do you mean? I'm here because your producers asked me to come. I said, but what is the reason you said yes? What did you intend when you said yes? And she said, I wanted people to know. Everybody asked me about my daughter's death and how she was murdered by her boyfriend. But I wanted people to know that my daughter was a real person. My daughter was loved, and she loved us. I want people to know that my daughter had a life that goes beyond her death, that's bigger than her death, that her life was bigger than her death. I said, okay, I can help you with that intention. Let me tell you what I intend. I intend to literally exploit your daughter's life, to tell the story in such a way that every other 16-year-old girl who is being abused by her 18-year-old boyfriend will see themselves in the story of your daughter. They will hear that she had a life. They will hear that everything seemed normal on the outside, but see themselves in her story and be able to be empowered by the life and death of your daughter. So every question that I ask you is not me trying to be just a voyeur. I'm using it for using and asking the questions explicitly for a reason, for an intention to get people to see themselves. That is the first show I won an Emmy for. And I will say that this principle of intention I use in everything. For the last interview that I did with Whitney Houston, we did the, hey girl, how you doing? Oh my God, good to see you. So. Then I say, turn the cameras off. I say, Whitney, tell me, what is your intention? Why are you doing this interview? Why did you want to sit with me? What is it you want to happen at the end of these 2 hours? Tell me what it is you want, because I control the mic and I can make sure that happens. And I've used that principle for every area of my life. I don't do anything, and I ask that you consider not doing anything that you don't truly intend. Do not allow yourself to be marginalized and defined by other people's agendas and intentions, because the power of your story lies in your personal intention. So it is my intention to fulfill the dream of the Creator. It is my intention to live to the highest calling and be pressed to the mark of the highest calling that I have come to do. And when you can ask the Creator, ask that which made you you, what is your dream for me? I guarantee you, instead of you trying to define the dream, what is your dream for me? If you're able to lean into the dream that the universe and all the forces of light and love and power and grace, by all the names that we call God, has for you, nobody can touch you. Nobody can touch you. That is the power of your phenomenon. Now, Everybody works hard, and everybody has their own dreams. There was a time where I used to spend a lot of energy wanting things. Of course, it's easy for me to say, oh, things don't define you, because I got a lot of things. Things are nice. I like them. But this is what I learned. When you can surrender to the dream, you get to live in the space of the higher power. You get to live in the space that you purposefully have come to earth to claim for yourself. So around 1984, I was sitting in bed one morning, Sunday morning, should have been in church, but I wasn't. I was reading the New York Times review of The Color Purple. And I thought, whoa, this sounds like a really great book. I got out of bed in my pajamas, put on my galoshes, and went to the store to get the copy of The Color Purple. I read The Color Purple in one afternoon, went back to the bookstore, bought every book of The Color Purple. I took the books to the office, and I said to everybody, y'all got to read this book. Oh, my God, you got to read this book, Color Purple. I needed a book club. I didn't have one. So I passed out the book to everybody I knew. Please, read The Color Purple. Read The Color Purple. Then I start to hear that somebody's going to do a movie about The Color Purple. But I don't know anybody in the movie business. By this time, I was on AM Chicago. I don't know anybody. I start praying to God. God, please help me find a way to get into Color Purple. I say, Jesus, I don't even have to have a speaking part. I will be, because I went to the movies and I saw on the movie credits, at the last credit, there's something called Best Boy. So I said, Jesus, if you just let me be Best Girl, that'll be all right by me. I can be Best Girl. I can carry the script. I can help the people with the water. I can do whatever. So I start praying for The Color Purple. As divine law would have it, Quincy Jones comes to Chicago, and he is in Chicago for one half of a day because somebody has filed a suit against Michael Jackson claiming that Billie Jean was their lover, and that's not his song. So Quincy had taken the red eye to Chicago. He was in his hotel room. He was coming out of the shower, and the television in his hotel room is on AM Chicago. There sits little chubby me with my Jerry Curl on AM Chicago. Quincy Jones tells Reuben Cannon, the casting agent, I think I found Sophia. So I get a call from Reuben Cannon who says, I'm calling about a movie. It's called Moon Song. Would you be interested to come and audition? And I say, I have not been praying for Moon Song. No. I have not been praying for Moon Song. I've been praying for The Color Purple. He said, well, I think you should come and audition. So I go to audition. You know, movie people, they're making everything all secret. Steven Spielberg didn't want anybody to know he was doing Color Purple. So on the outside of the script, it says Moon Song. But I know all the words by heart. So when I open the script, I know this is The Color Purple, Jesus. This is The Color Purple. Yes. So I auditioned for The Color Purple. I can't even believe it. They don't just want me to be the water girl or the best girl. They are asking me, do I want a part in the movie? Oh, I'm thinking prayer. Prayer works. Prayer works. But listen to this. 3 months pass. 3 months is a long time. I auditioned in February, March, April, May comes. I haven't heard anything. So I call Reuben Cannon. I say, Mr. Cannon, I'm sorry, sir, I haven't heard anything. I expected to hear something by now. And Reuben Cannon, African-American man, says to me, you don't call me, I call you. And I didn't call you. Do you understand that I have real actresses who have auditioned for this part? Real actresses. And he tells me who just left his office. And I went, well, okay, I'm not getting that part. So I hang up the phone and I start crying. I can't believe that God has played this trick on me. I think, this is a trick. So I decide that this is because the fat has finally caught up with me. The fat has finally caught up with me, and now I must get rid of the fat in 2 weeks. I am going to go to a fat farm, and I'm going to lose 25 pounds. I'm going to drink a lot of green juice. I'm going to have some cleanses and colonics. So I also was trying to make peace with it. I said, God, I don't understand. I thought it was for me. You ever had that talk with God? I thought it was for me. I thought it was for me. God, you let me audition with somebody named Harpo. That's my name backwards. Jesus, that was a sign. Wasn't it a sign? And then 3 months pass, and then Reuben Cannon says, real actresses have just left his office. So I start to pray on the track. I'm out on the track at the fat farm, and I am running around at the track at the fat farm. It starts to rain. Y'all know how that is. But I don't even care, because I am praying to God to help me to let it go. Help me let it go, because now I've become obsessed with it and it's now controlling my life. I start praying, running around the track. And I keep hearing this noise, and I can't, there's nobody on the track but me, and I'm running around the track. And I look around, and it is my thighs rubbing together. It's my thighs. My thighs are rubbing together, causing this thunderous sound. There's nobody on the track. So then I really start to cry. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me let it go. Help me let it go. Help me let it go, God. Help me let it go. And you ever did this prayer where you say, okay, Lord, okay, I'm going to let it go. Then you get up and you go, well, I think I still got a little bit of it. I did. Help me let it go. But I am not going to be able to see the other actress in my part. I won't be able to see it. Won't be able to see Color Purple. Just can't never see it the rest of my life. I won't be able to see it. So then I started, I don't know where it came from. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I sang and I cried. I sang and I cried and I prayed some more until I could reach the point where not only will I be able to go to the movie, but I can bless the other actress. I can bless her. I can say, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you with this. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And I tell you in my greatest testimony that the instant I laid that thing down, I'm telling you, when I laid it down, when I laid it down and it didn't have me anymore. It had no control over me anymore. I didn't feel anything about it anymore. When I let it go, when I intentionally surrendered it to the power that was greater than I could ever know. The instant that happened, a woman comes running out of the cafeteria screaming, "Ofri? Is your name Ofri?" For 10 years, nobody could pronounce my name. I said, "Yes." Yeah." She said, "Somebody's on the telephone for you." He said, "His name's Spielberg." I get to the phone. He says, "I hear you're at a fat farm." I said, "No, sir." "This is a health retreat." He says, "I'd like to see you in my office in California tomorrow." This was in Wisconsin, I was. "I'd like to see you in my office. And if you lose a pound, you could lose this part." No problem do I have. I don't have no problem not losing a pound. So, honey, I packed my bags and I stopped at the Dairy Queen. I got 3 scoops just in case I'd lost a half a pound. And the next day, I was in Steven Spielberg's office, and he said, "You're hired. You're hired."
"You told Harpo to beat me. All my life, I had to fight. I had to fight my daddy. I had to fight my uncles. I had to fight my brothers. Girl, child ain't safe in a family man's. But I ain't never thought I had to fight in my own house. I loves Harpo. God knows I do. But I kill him dead before I let him beat me." "Woo! You keep on advising him like you do.
This life be over soon. Heaven lasts always."
"Girl, you ought to bash Mr. head open and think about heaven later."
Woo! The Color Purple was a life-changing event for me because it taught me that you can dream the dream and that God can have a bigger dream. But most importantly, it taught me the power of surrender. It taught me when you've done everything you can do, you don't just have to stand. When you've prayed and cried and stood and tried some more and sacrificed and wanted and dreamed and held on and believed and got turned down and turned back and turned around, it taught me that when you've done everything you can do, surrender all. Surrender all. Because there's a bigger dream. There's a bigger dream waiting for you. Just waiting for you to step into it. To step into it. Your life is big. Your life is huge. And we spend so much time wanting to be in somebody else's life. And you don't get honored, you don't get revered, you don't get celebrating wanting what somebody else has, because that which created you, divine intelligence that dreamed you from before your ancestors ever knew they would become your ancestors, that which dreamed the seed of you, wants you to know how special, how wondrous, how mysterious, how complex, how glorious, how phenomenal you are. And you get no credit messing in somebody else's territory or trying to have power over something you have no control. Another one of my favorite teachings is the Wizard of Oz. When the Wicked Witch of the West says, go away from here because you don't have any power here, you have no power in any territory other than your own. Oh, but you are the master of that. You get to be the master of your own fate. You get to be the captain of your own soul. And if you just manage that, if you just took care of your territory, oh, the glorious, 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 wondrous, wondrous opportunities and possibilities that are waiting for you. So the question is, what are you resisting? What are you pushing against? What are you not allowing? What are you blocking? Because you have this idea of who and what you're supposed to be, instead of leaning into the dream that's already been created and waiting for you. It's waiting for you. And the second, I mean, it's an instant thing. It's a shift in the way you see yourself and the power from which you have come. So, I went through some tough times after I left the Oprah show. I made a conscious decision that I did not want to be sitting on TV with the Oprah show and y'all saying, she should have left that show. That show was really good 2 years ago. I made a conscious decision that when I felt I had said all that I could say and the audience had heard it, that I would move on and that I would not spend my life regretting or trying to hold on to what used to be or hold on to what I had. So I dreamed this dream of starting a network. And in the beginning, it was a struggle. It was a struggle because I did not know what I was doing. I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure it out. I thought that the Oprah show audience would follow us to OWN, and then I realized y'all didn't have cable. And if you had cable, you did not have the OWN package. So it took me a minute. And unlike most people who you get to have your mistakes in private, some don't go right in your life, you get to sulk about it in private. If I make a mistake, it's on the CNN crawl or the CNN news. So when I was in the climb and there were so many wonderful owners, I see Churl Action Jackson here, there were so many wonderful owners, people who said, oh, we're going to stand with you. We're going to stand by you. Thank you, Roland Martin. There were so many people who said, listen, we believe that this can happen. So I dreamed the dream along with Tyler Perry, who was my friend, who came to me and said, Tyler said, I'm going to help you out because Tyler can go home and write a script and direct it, produce it, and shoot it, and do it for less money than anybody in Hollywood. So we started with the foundation of have and have nots. If loving you is wrong, love thy neighbor, Mama Hattie. And then I started to dream another dream about scripted television, because in the beginning I was told you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it, didn't have enough money to do it. And I dreamed the dream. I read Proverbs 11:28 that says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will rise and thrive like a green leaf. And now we have this remarkable series every Wednesday night at 10, Greenleaf.
preachers, for the mothers, for the deacons. Oh, yes. We're going to tag on.
Greenleaf, all new Wednesdays, 10, 9 Central, down. On OWN, and catch up on the Watch OWN app.
Lynn Whitfield's in the house. Lynn Whitfield playing Lady May. Where are you, Lynn Whitfield? Yes! Sister Lynn Whitfield. When I first read that very first script, I heard Lynn's voice in my head, and I said, Lord, please let Lynn be available. If you love me, Jesus, let Lynn be available. Jesus loves me. Thank you, Lynn Whitfield. And then this happened. I was sitting on my porch looking out at the trees with Ava DuVernay. Now, Ava had just finished doing Selma, and I was trying to convince her to come sit on the porch, take a break, just take a week, Ava, come up, just relax a minute, because this is what we do, particularly as women people. I can't speak to men because I've never been one, but as women people, we will run ourselves empty. And this I know because I've done it. You want to have your cup overflowing so you have enough to give to everybody else. And you can't keep giving from an empty cup. So I had this conversation with Ava, and she listened to me. Ava, come on up here. Ava. So Ava came to my house, and I said, just relax. I won't bother you because you can just sit on the porch, and I got my own porch, and you can sit over there. And I presented her with this idea. I was reading this book called Queen Sugar by Natalie Brazil. And I then went to Ava and said, Ava, I think this would actually make a really good series. And at first she was like, I don't know. Let me see. And then she said, yeah, I think I could do something with it. Ava DuVernay, everybody, Ava DuVernay. Thank you. So let me ask you this. I haven't asked this of you, actually, really. Okay. What was your intention when you said yes?
My intention was to, it was really about OWN. I didn't like that people thought that it wasn't as valuable and as beautiful as I saw it. And I thought if there was anything I could give to it, and give to this woman who had given so much to me, I could make a television show for this network that I saw as beautiful to help contribute to everyone else seeing its beauty. And what it ended up giving me was just so much I can cry just thinking about it. The experience of making Queen Sugar really became a gift for me, not even a gift to her. So I thank you for it.
Yes,
I do.
There's a wonderful quote from Nina Shaw, who happens to be, isn't she your?
My attorney.
Your attorney. There's a wonderful quote that Nina Shaw actually said at the Essence Luncheon that I now use all the time. She says, if you want to be an empowered woman, empower other women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is what we have done on this project with Queen Sugar, because not only did Ava DuVernay create it and direct the first two episodes and manage everything in production along with a whole team, but she empowered and hired all female directors for
yes.
Our Queen Sugar.
Yes.
So take a look.
Yes.
There you go.
How's Aunt Vi holding up?
She gonna be all right. Been through worse and came out on the other side.
I ain't seen her like this since Ralph Angel's trial.
Woman loves hard. Papa, let things go.
Who is that?
A whole bunch of peckerwoods.
What the hell y'all think y'all doing?
We're your servers. We're here to set up for tomorrow.
Ain't nobody called for no service. You could pack that bitch up and go back to New Orleans.
And the order came from Charlie Bordelone West.
What the hell is that out there?
It's for the repast.
He's something else, Charlie. You know that?
Whoa. It is just some drinks, tables, and linens. I thought it would help.
Don't nobody need no fancy-ass linen.
Okay, look. I'm paying for it, so what's it matter? Just let the service handle it. They know what they're doing.
And you don't know a damn thing about nothing except wasting money. How long you been gone? You ain't been gone that long. How come you don't remember how it's done?
Oh, and how it's done has to be your way. Ain't that right? I've been trying to help, but for some reason, you've been blocking me at every turn.
We don't honor our father by sitting friends and family outside at fancy tables.
We don't honor our father by having strangers serve those grieving. We serve comfort food to those who need comfort, and we do it with our own hands. That's how a family does a repast.
And we certainly don't pay our respects with American Express. Now get those folks out that yard!
That's Queen Sugar. I'd like to bring up the cast of Queen Sugar.
All right,
Sugar.
The cast of King Sugar,
cast
coming
of
up.
Queen Sugar, come along this side. Omar Dorsey, Dondre Whitfield, Don Leanne Gardner, Retina Wesley, Nick Ash, Kofi Cirbo. Everyone, come on up. Tina Lifford. And as they come up, Owen has given us this beautiful, beautiful launch. We'll be following in the footsteps of our big sister, Greenleaf. And we'll be debuting on September 6th and 7th in a two-night premiere. It's a couple months away. We showed it to you first here at Essence. And here's this beautiful cast. You'll get to know them pretty soon, but you say you saw them here. Here they are, Dondre Whitfield, woo-hoo, Kofi Cirbo, Don Leanne Gardner, Rutina Wesley, Tina Lifford, Nick Ash, and Omar Dorsey.
I just want to say the fact that this series and Greenleaf, Lynn, come on up here too, because we can't see you. Lynn, you still there? Lynn, join us up here, because we can't see you. The fact that Lady May, Greenleaf, and Queen Sugar is happening, and happening on a network that carries my name. It's God at his finest. Working with me, and working for me. And I just want to thank all of you who've supported me all these years, supported the network, supported us, who believe in the dream of what we as a people can do. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Good morning, Carla LeBeau. You morning. I see you got your Carla LeBeau Hawkins.
Let me read your thing.
All right. Good morning, family. Good morning. Carla, just let me know if you want to come back on. I just want to thank you for listening in. I just wanted to share that with you this morning to remind you that it's about living the vision that God has for our life. And did you see the series of things and how they just play out? Even sometimes it get rough. Doesn't mean that God is not there. And so I just want you to live the vision that God has for your life. Surrender to the vision. Surrender to the higher power and ask, what is the vision for my life? What is the dream? What is the God's dream for your life? And that's why I played that for you this morning. You heard her say, I'm living the dream, not because I'm special, but because I was obedient to the call. I'm living the dream because I was obedient to the call, that because I surrendered to what God would have for my life. And I wanted you to hear that in her own words, because so many people look to Oprah and we think, oh, she's just special. And she said to herself, I'm not special. I'm just obedient to the call. All right, family, we're going to get ready and get out of here. Thank you for the opportunity. If there's any questions, comments, or concerns, you *61 teleconference and you press the 1 on Blog Talk. I'm going to give, see if Carla's still ready. Carla. Carla LeVoe Hawkins.
Hello. I didn't really press 1. I guess it was just meant for me to chime in and say hallelujah. I haven't seen it all today. I was like, I don't remember pressing. But it was awesome, and I thank you. And as always, you are truly a blessing. I just wanted to say that.
All right, well, thank you, Carla. It's one pressed on your call, so I don't know. It was in the middle of it. I'm like, do she want me to stop it? I said, well, I'll just see afterwards. All right, thanks, Carla. And you can tune in to Carla every Sunday on her Manifestation Destination prayer line. And you can check her out every first and third on her Lady C Breakthrough with Lady C. Yes, yes, yes. Don't forget to check Carla out. You can go to the Love Journey page and press and like our Love Journey page. If you haven't, go to the Love Journey page and like it. And let your friends know about the Love Journey. Also, I will be getting ready to put together this 10th annual Sunrise Service. So I want you to prepare and be here in Chicago and be ready to prepare to celebrate Lady Love. I'm just so excited, but I think the procrastination is because I'm pushing myself, because guess what? We're going to be celebrating me. And guess what? I had to push past all the energy that comes with Janine being celebrated. Oh, I still got some stuff, but guess what? I'm working through, family, and I just want to thank you for coming here each and every day. Because of you, I am. Because of you, I stand in my greatness. Because of you, I break through all the stuff that keep coming up that makes me want to step back and fall in the back. But guess what? God's dream is bigger than even what I may have for myself. It's bigger than this, and I know that my life and what I do is bigger than what any insecurities or thoughts of inferiority come up. I had to remind myself, I am more than worthy. I am more than worthy. I am more than worthy. I was worthy the day God put me in the womb of my mother's belly. I was worthy before that. I was worthy the day that I was placed there, that I came to this planet to do a mighty work. And I know most of this work is to get past my own self. And I say to self, we got to get past this junk that you keep trying to tell yourself, because the story you tell yourself is the story you live. And if you want to live the greatest and highest version of yourself, you got to get rid of that stuff that you're telling yourself, because you are more than worthy. So I'm working through to break through the processes that keep trying to come back. But baby, my God is bigger than this. My God is bigger than this right here. We're not going to accept it. This is unacceptable, Janine. So I had to talk to myself like that, family. I had to do that. Can you believe that? After all these years, getting up every morning, I still got to tell myself this stuff. But guess what? I'm going to do it until I don't have to do it no more. I'm not giving up. I won't. I'm in it to win it, family. And that's why I do what I do. My intentions here is to come here to remind us of all our divine beauty, and that in our divine beauty, there's no monopoly on beauty. There's no monopoly on beauty. There's no size that beauty is. Beauty comes in all sizes, shapes, colors, heights, hair textures, skin tones. And I had to understand that. And I had to get past myself. And I look in that mirror, and I, when I tell myself something that is not appropriate, I had to go back and say, oh, no, God don't make no junk, baby. Uh-uh. And God show look good on you. And I just want to remind you that you are already worthy, family. And no matter what tries to come up in your mind about not being good enough, or because you may be in relationship issues, you might think, oh, well, I'm, don't get that, don't have that song being played that you're not, you are already more than good enough. And just because this relationship is going through its process doesn't have a thing to do with how beautiful and how amazing you are. It's just a lesson. Your finances may not be showing up, but you speak to those finances because you know you bank from the unlimited bank of the universe. Come on, Holy Spirit. And so I just want to remind you today, simply to remind you that you are worth it. You are worth it. You are worth it. You are worthy because you are worth it. And that's what my message is today. Let's live the God-sized dreams. All right, family, I want to remind you again that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is the only choice. And remember, family, remember, don't just dream your God-sized dream. Let's live them, family. You can live your God-sized dreams today. What did Oprah say? By simply surrendering. Surrender, family. Surrender, surrender, surrender. I love it. All right, family, you know I got to play some Kim, you know. You've been tuned in to the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And this is Kim. There's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus. I see you in the morning, man.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I need.